All right, we are picking back up with our study guide. We just had an excellent question. I think I'll put that on a tape at some point when it's the right time. But thank you for that question. And we looked up some scriptures that we'll add to our teaching, certainly. So we're looking at when should we pray on page 3 near the bottom of our study guide. We should pray when things are going well. We should communicate out of a grateful heart to our Father and say thank you. Remember what God told the nation of Israel? He gave them a caution. He said, now when you get into the land that I promised you, and you're living in houses that you didn't build, and you're reaping, you know, from fields that you didn't sow, remember that I'm the one who gave you the power to get that prosperity, that wealth. Don't forget. They didn't listen. But what God was saying was, when you get there and things are going well, just like I told you they would, remember me. Don't think you did that. See, we get prideful if we're not careful. God says to remember him all the time. We should pray when things are going well. Now, why would we put that in the study guide? Because lots of times, and I think we can all attest to being guilty of this, when we do our most heartfelt communicating with God is when we're in trouble. And he answers us. He's merciful. He hears us. He wants us to get out of trouble. But is that the only time that we need to talk to him? No, we need to give him thanks and praise. And you know, whenever he answers a prayer, then that's a good time. It's good to praise him in the good times. It's good to praise him in the hard times. It's good to give thanks all the time and to pray. We should also pray when things seem to be going wrong. What about the scripture that tells us, let's look up and then boldly. Boldly. And we'll get the scripture reference while we're here. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of what? In time of need. So when things seem to be going wrong, let's apply Hebrews 4:16. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace in time of trouble. In time, when do you come? That's the time to come when you're in need. When things are going well, when things are going wrong, we pray. The message is pray all the time. Paul said, I pray without ceasing. What he's talking about there is, I live a lifestyle of communication with the Lord. Circumstances must not affect our consistency in prayer. Now think about your best friend. What if the only time your best friend called you was when they wanted something? Well, that would be all right because they're your best friend and you want to help them out. But how much better if your best friend calls just to say, I was just thinking about you and wanted to tell you that I love you. What do you need? I don't need anything. I was just thinking about you and wanted to tell you that I love you. See, that's a heart that's thinking about somebody all the time, no matter what the circumstances are. Pardon me. And then on the other hand, if you think about that very best friend again, you know that when you do come together with that friend, even if it's been a while, that you pick right back up where you left off. So it's not like God's not going to communicate with you. He's ready all the time. It's our consciousness of his willingness to talk and communicate anytime, all the time, anywhere, everywhere, any circumstance, no circumstance, no particular reason. I just want to tell you that I love you. He's always listening to us. And we can talk to him all we want to. So the limit on our life of communication with the Lord is not on his side. He's not limited. He can communicate with each of us simultaneously. He can know what each of us needs, what each of us is thinking, what each of us wants to tell him. He can hear us all at the same time. Isn't that amazing? That's why I said, you know, our Father is omniscient alone. He's the only one who can be everywhere, know everything, and be all-powerful at the same time, and nurture and care for his whole family, which is who we are. We're born into his family, born again into his family. So, we shouldn't let circumstances, you know, guilt because I haven't prayed, or pride because I have. We just had a question about that. Don't let anything keep you from communicating. Just communicate. God is waiting to hear from us. When we are afflicted, James teaches us. Let's look at James 5:13. What does that mean? James 5:13. It asks the question. Let me read it out of here. Is anyone afflicted? Isn't that the way it says it? Let me find it. Pardon? Oh, I find it in here. It's in the New King James. 5:13. Well, I need to get in James and not Peter. That'd be the first thing I need to do. Is anyone among you suffering? Okay, in the King James it does say afflicted. So would you look that word up for us? In the Greek. That's all right. There you go. 5:13. I love this. Undergo hardship. Is anyone among you undergoing hardship? Now, if you ask it that way, I don't know anybody who wouldn't say, yeah, we are. When you when you say it in a King Jamesy way, is any among you afflicted? We probably wouldn't respond to that. I'm not afflicted. But if you say, is anybody among you undergoing a hardship? Is anybody having a hard time? Yes, I'm having a hard time. Well, what do we do about that? He goes on to say, is anyone among you cheerful? Well, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? So, James says, teaches us, that we should pray when we're undergoing hardship. Well, that sounds like a good thing to do, but what is our natural tendency to do when we're undergoing hardship? Complain, murmur, gripe, vent, whatever you want to call it. Somebody has done me wrong and I'm going to sing my song because I want somebody to know about it. Well, here's the thing. God knows everything, doesn't he? He already knows your somebody done me wrong song. He already knows who did you wrong. And even more than that, he already knew they were going to do you wrong before they did it. And he saw ahead, and he made a provision for us in that very place. So what can come out of our mouth, instead of complaining, it's our choice, could be prayer. Well, how do you pray about that if you don't tell the Lord what the problem is? Well, he already knows what the problem is. But what can we do? We can speak the word. There's a principle that I wrote down on the next page. We'll look at that a little bit later maybe, but I'm just going to talk to you about the principle of it now. We'll get the reference and go there. That says, this is the way God operates. This is the operation of faith. God calls the things that aren't as though they already are. In other words, he speaks the things that he wants to come into existence, and they do, because he has faith in his own word. He swears by it. Well, if that's how did God create the heavens and the earth in the beginning. The earth was without form and void. Okay? And God said, this is the biggest mess I've ever seen. The earth is without form. What shall we do? What chaos. I don't know what in the world to do about this. It's void. There's nothing happening here. There's nothing growing here. There's no life. This is a terrible dark place. I don't even want to be here. How about you? Is that what God did? No, that's what we tend to do. What did God do? It was without form and void. It was dark. God said, light be. Or let there be light, as the King James says. God spoke into existence as though it already were, light be. What was not. And light came, light was. Well, that very principle needs to come over and rule my thinking and my living. I don't need to, you know, if there's a pack of dogs around me trying to eat me for their lunch, or let's go even better than this. I was thinking about this today. You know, the scripture says that our enemy, Satan, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I was thinking about Daniel in the lion's den. And here's what I was thinking. You know, the things that come to devour me, now I'm talking spiritual things here, so don't see tangible lions, but they come roaring as lions. They make racket, they make noise, they make threats like Goliath did. They roar at me, and their mouths want to devour me. I mean, the enemy's out to tear me up, tear me to shreds and eat me for lunch. And the people or the things, the circumstances, whatever it is that he's using to come after me, those things come like a roaring lion to devour me. But God shut the mouth of the lions when Daniel was in the den. Why? What was it about Daniel? This is what I was thinking about today. What was it that had the enemy, the only thing they could find to accuse him of was his prayer life, his life of prayer. And that's what they came after him with. And he ended up in the lion's den because the king didn't have any more spiritual wisdom than to put him in there and to listen to the fools who were accusing him. But what happened in that lion's den? Daniel didn't stop his lifestyle. He went right on with praying to the Father. And the Father shut the mouths of the lion. Well, if he would do that for Daniel naturally, he will do that for us spiritually. So if the lions are all around me and wanting to eat me for their lunch, do I need to be calling the lions? Do I need to be speaking the lions? Do I need to be talking about what they're about to do to me and be prophesying that into being? Well, that's what we do when we murmur and complain. We're calling the lions, and they're already right there, crouched to eat us. But what happens when we speak the word of God when the lions are all around us? When we speak our victory, and when we speak deliverance, and when we speak your mouth is shut in Jesus' name, that's what Isaiah 54:17 tells me, that no weapon fashioned or formed against me is going to prosper. But that every tongue that rises up against me, that's like the lion's mouth. My enemy is my accuser. He's like the lion's mouth. He's coming to eat me up. Every tongue that arises against me, I will condemn. How will I do that? I will judge that tongue that's rising up against me. I will judge that wrong and false accusation that's coming from my enemy. I will shut that lion's mouth. Because I will speak forth the word of God, which says, your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is your heritage from me. You speak my word in earth by faith, by the Spirit of God. I will hear you from heaven, and I will change your circumstances according to what you believe me for. Or call the lions. And let him eat you. That's our choice. So if my lifestyle, when circumstances hit me hard, is any among you having a hard time? Yes, Lord, yes. Well, if my habit, my practice is when I'm having a hard time to just call the lions and talk about how sharp their teeth are and what they can do to flesh once they start, you know, digging in and how I'm going to end up, then that's what I'm calling. I am prophesying my own destruction in earth if I murmur and complain. Because I'm not saying what God says. God doesn't murmur and complain. He just speaks a thing and it comes to pass. He speaks right. God knows what to do about everything. I don't. The only way that I'll speak right is when I order my conversation according to what I know about His Word. And then that shows me that the more I know His Word, like you were asking about earlier, the more I speak in line with what I know He would say or what He's already said about a thing. So, knowing the Word of God is foundational to an effective prayer life. But I can know the Word of God and still murmur and complain. A lot of Christian people do it. Pardon me, and I'm telling you, their life can't be victorious. If what comes out of my mouth constantly is complaining against the Lord is really what I'm doing, whether I realize it or not. Because I'm not speaking His truth. If I just call the circumstances like I see them, then I'm agreeing with what the enemy's doing, you know, toward me. But if I say what I don't see out there, I don't like what I see, but I say what God says about what I see. If I speak God's word about what I see, then God's word is greater than what I see. And it'll change it. It'll superimpose over it. It'll wrap around it. It'll get it out of the way. It'll dissolve it. It'll move it. It'll destroy it. Or it'll convert it for my good. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what I need to be talking. Not what I see. I don't like a lot of what I see. How about you? But I need to speak what God sees. Okay? So, we should pray instead of complaining. I don't want to undergo hardship. I want to overcome hardship. How about you? Well, the way to do that is to speak the word or pray. We should pray whenever we are called upon to pray. And that is a privilege. We were talking about that a little bit tonight as class opened. We have a divine opportunity in earth while we're here to influence people and circumstances, whether they ask us to or not, but especially if we're called upon to pray. Now, that don't think of some formal setting where they say, Reverend Bumgarner, would you please lead us in a word of prayer? And that's called upon to pray. And there's nothing wrong with giving somebody the opportunity to pray. But, you know, we've got that so religiously wrong. What's the magic in starting off a service that way? If I haven't already been privately in prayer with the Lord about what we're going to do when we get here, or when we do anything, then it's probably going to be a pretty weak and puny prayer that I pray if it's just a cover-all. What I'm saying is most of our prayer, when we really communicate with the Lord, most of our talking is not going to be public. Jesus didn't pray a lot in public. He did over Lazarus's tomb. But when he did that, he said, you know, Father, I know you hear me all the time. We talk all the time, and I already know what you're going to do. That's how I need to stay back there for a few days and let him die and be in here. Because I heard from you that what you were going to do with this dead man was greater than what you were going to do with him as a sick man. You're going to raise him from the D-E-A-D dead. He had to explain it to his disciples. Because when he said he sleeps. They said, well, he's doing fine. If he's sleeping, he's recovering. And let's recovering. Let's leave him alone.
Jesus said he's dead, guys. Get it? Dead. Like, he stinks by now, his sister said. But he'd already heard, but he prayed publicly because he said, I know they need to know that this is you, not me. I know you hear me all the time, but that they might believe, I'm going to go ahead and speak your word here. Okay, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he prayed. But he did that for the benefit of those who weren't believing, so that they would know that this thing came from God, not from him. And, you know, there was a time when his disciples said, teach us how to pray. But if you'll look at Jesus' life and ministry, you'll see that in his waking hours, when he was public and everybody was around him, he spent his time saying and doing, not praying. His praying happened in secret. When they all went wherever they went or went to their houses, it says he went to the Mount of Olives to be alone with the Father. That's where he got his information for the next day or the next thing or the next person or the next opposition, the next move, the next word, the next event. Your disciples are going to feed 5,000 people tomorrow, and they think they're going to think you're talking about a lunch sack. They're going to wonder, how are they going to do that? But the bread's going to be multiplied and the fish too. And there's going to be an abundance left over. Well, let's go do it. Don't you know he anticipated the next day? When the Lord had shown him, when his Father had shown him what he was going to do and how he was going to do it and what to say and how it was going to turn out. And then there was a day when he had to say, nevertheless, not my will. Because I know what your will is. And my will's struggling to get in agreement with it. But I hear you, and I know what's coming, and I'm going to go ahead and say, your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. But that's, you know, that was his way of always getting it right, because God's always right. And Jesus was always operating just like his Father. In the earth. In fact, he said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, whether you realize it or not. This has been God all along. Okay. So, we should not pray until our prayer is in line with God's will. In other words, we pray the prayer of faith. Because let's look at your scripture, Francis, that we looked at a little bit earlier. Let's look in 1 John 5:14. This will be a good way. Did you say 3 minutes? A good way to close this evening. 1 John 5:14. The question came, does God hear every prayer that we pray? Does God answer every prayer that we pray? Wasn't that the question? Yeah. And the answer to that is, God knows everything, God hears everything, but does God ever answer every prayer that we pray? In 1 John 5:14, that question is answered for us. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, in the Father.